Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now to Tokyo, where we're joined by Des Cahill for the latest from the Olympics.
RTE Radio 1 Sport with a Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
Kia, movement that inspires.
Well, Des, how are you?
I'm great. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, is the Olympics overhyped? There's so much about it and so much going on. And yet every day you get a story that makes you go, it's not unreal. The surfing has finished here this evening and an Australian surfer got bronze. Owen Wright is his name. The gold medal went to Brazil. Japan took silver. But the story is in the bronze medal because Owen Wright, he's 31 from Australia. He had a savage injury back in 2015, hit by a wave. He was left with bleeding on the brain and he had to learn to walk again, never mind surf. And isn't that amazing? And he comes back and wins. It happened to him out in Hawaii and he was brought home. His sister, who is one of the leading surfers as well in the World Surf League, she effectively took a break from the sport as well to help him get back. Now, obviously, he was an incredibly fit young man. And 4 months later, he was walking again. He described going back on a board, though, after that. And he said he couldn't even get to his feet. It was only about knee high. And the drop was, well, he said there was no drop. But for him, when he just managed to sail along on it, it was like a massive achievement for him. But
isn't that remarkable?
He has come back. Isn't it incredible? And in fact, what is the broader story, like a lot of these stories are incredible. They go beyond the individual themselves. Tyler Wright, his sister, who helped him regain, elite surfing, she subsequently suffered post-viral syndrome, a form of chronic fatigue, and she was bedridden for over a year, and he helped her as well. So it's an extraordinary story. But again, one of those stories that kind of inspires you.
Yes, it does. And we always have them at the Olympics, don't we? On the flip side then, poor old Naomi Osaka was beaten earlier. That was a big surprise for her, wasn't it?
Huge surprise. Maybe that's why she was beaten. Maybe she was expecting to get through it. You know what I mean? She was hot favourite. I mean, the opponent who beat her, is ranked 54 in the world or something. She's well down the rankings, Marketa Vondrousova. So I think Osaka was expected to get through. She had started hugely impressively in the first two rounds and the hopes of a nation, as I said, she's kind of the darling of the nation and that was reflected in her being chosen to light the flame. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge blow.
But she spoke, didn't she, about that afterwards, about the pressure of all of that. And we know she took that 8-week break. Maybe that had something to do mm-hmm. with it as well. But she was philosophical about it in a way. I think people were surprised that she spoke to the media because she had said, didn't she, that she speaking to the media afterwards was really difficult for her. She did that.
Yes.
She spoke to them. But she talked about being under so much pressure representing Japan.
Yeah, I think once she committed to being in the Olympics, she was always going to talk to the press. It's terrible that someone is so uncomfortable with it. And it's almost awkward, isn't it, that they have to do those press conferences if it affects them so badly. But the other side of that argument, obviously, as you know, is that a sport can't ask sponsors to put up millions and then the main stars don't turn up for press conferences, mm-hmm. etc. So that's the dilemma they face in it. But yeah, I mean, she really committed to the Olympics, and there was no question. I think that she wouldn't turn up today. But I think it's a huge blow for her, and the Japanese clearly are hugely saddened by that, given they're having so much success elsewhere. I think given the stance that Naomi had taken in France, and it was a brave stance, and there was all the more support for her in Japan.
Now, controversy. Let's talk a bit of controversy, because we know the Norwegian beach handball team, they were fined for wearing shorts instead of bikini bottoms in competition. I think Pink, the rock star,
wasn't that
pop
dreadful?
Star, she paid the fine for them as a sign of solidarity.
Yeah.
Now the German gymnasts, they've also taken a stand on what women are expected to wear to compete.
Yeah, they wore full body suits instead of the gymnastics leotards. They were asked about it and they said they're trying to counter the sexualization of their sport and promote freedom of choice. And it's interesting that the Olympic Broadcasting Service, OBS, who provide all the pictures to go around the world, you know, every station pays millions for it, but the OBS pictures then are what you get. And they have come out and effectively supporting the stance, and they said, while they're not responsible for what athletes wear, they are very conscious that how they film it will not in any way highlight the way people are dressed or what they're dressed as. Previous Olympics, I don't know if you recall, maybe it was the novelty of the first time beach volleyball was in it, but that was highly sexualized in the TV close-ups, etc., and all of that. So I think there's a welcome step away from it now. And this the OBS, as one of the, like, the broadcasters, the biggest sporting event in the world, make a very significant step forward in that.
Yeah, I mean, I never really knew why in gymnastics the women had to wear swimsuits with long sleeves. I mean, it didn't really seem to make sense. And I'm sure that would put some people off competing, having to wear something like that.
Of course it would, yeah. Now, maybe there's more freedom of movement or whatever. I'm not an expert on Lycra and the like, but
look at what the men wear. You know what I mean? don't wear them.
No, they don't. I'm not defending it at all. I think, yeah, now equally the men, they're showing all their muscles, etc., in some of the routines. But look, I think the main point here is that there's a move away from it, a very strong move. I think that beach volleyball move where the Norwegians were fined crossed the line by such a distance. It was utterly scandalous.
Yeah.
And I think people it made everyone think about it and say, this is ridiculous, this should stop. And I think that's what's going to happen.
I turned on the BBC early this morning and the top news was about the British swimmers. Clearly they're very proud of their medals there. But the big story there is Tom Dean. Tell us about him.
Yeah. I think it's a fantastic story. It's not unlike Owen Wright, our Australian surfer. Well, not as dramatic maybe, but for those who didn't see or hear the race, Britain took not only gold, but silver as well in the 200 freestyle, a hugely competitive race. So a British one too. The first time two British men have been on the same podium since 1908. So it was a huge achievement. Tom Dean, though, had come back from an extraordinary year last year. He suffered from COVID twice. He's twice had to be taken from the pool. He said at one stage, when he contracted coronavirus for the first time, he was unable to walk up the stairs without coughing and wheezing. And here he is a year later, winning gold at the Olympics. It's incredible.
Just on the COVID front, before I let you go, I see that there are 2,848 cases in Tokyo. It's extraordinary how it's growing there. Is there much about it? Do you hear much about this?
It was all we talked about until the game started. And as I kind of predicted that, I wondered aloud, certainly, if Japan start getting gold medals and there's great success, will that take over the main news stories? And that's absolutely what happened.
Okay, interesting.
It's the gold medal chase and Naomi Osaka going out is dominating more than COVID now.
Well,
it was inevitable, probably.
Des, we'll chat again soon. Always good to talk to you. Des Cahill there at the Olympics in Tokyo. Bye for now. Coming up, we're going to talk about social media and whether it's the government's job to make sure that social media companies protect people from online abuse.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.